Welcome to the Chief AI Officer Podcast,
where AI meets leadership.
And here is your host, Sanjay Puri.
Welcome to the Chief AI Officers Podcast. We are at the Future of AI conference hosted by FT Live. I'm joined by Sophia Velastegui, formerly of Microsoft. Sophia, such a pleasure to have you at the podcast where we talk to Chief AI Officers or leaders in AI at the enterprise level so that your peers can learn from your challenges, your opportunities, and also it can be a call to attract talent because we are looking at democratizing AI talent. So welcome to the podcast.
Sanjay, thank you so much for having this opportunity to have this conversation about AI, but also the journey I've had at Microsoft, Google, and Apple.
Well, we have a global audience. These are people who are currently Chief AI Officers, aspiring Chief AI Officers, and AI experts around the world. Tell them a little bit about your journey, Sophia.
I actually started off as a mechanical engineer and designing hardware for computers and laptop at Apple. And I saw that for every iPad and laptop, there were unlimited software apps. And the software apps that really did exceptional in the market were all leveraging AI. And that's how I started my journey in AI, including the fingerprint, Touch ID, which scanned and mapped the fingertip and associated with your own profile. And then it led me to go work on Nest, the smart thermostat and smoke detector, which got acquired by Google. And then I continued my journey in AI completely by becoming a general manager of AI products and search at Microsoft. And this was during 2017 when ChatGPT and OpenAI just started their partnership. So was part of that team and then continued my journey to be the Chief AI Technology Officer for Business Application in Microsoft.
Wonderful. That's a very impressive journey. Sophia, there are obviously Chief AI Officers and others who are setting up AI enterprises in their companies. What suggestions would you have for them in terms of what should they look at it in terms of talent? What should they look at it in terms of processes? Also, the big question that we get asked a lot of times is, how do you find the ROI for these kinds of investments? So talk to our audience a little bit about that.
So one of the things why I was brought into Microsoft was that Microsoft was in a journey to change itself from a software company to an AI company. But in order to do that, like Satya said in Hit Refresh book, he had to do a culture change because an AI company or really leaning into it is knowing that data is something that's leveraged across the organization, that experimentation is part of the culture, and that it's something safe. There is not a failure, but it's a learning of A-B testing. And so as you do the transformation of the people, is how can you align it to the business strategy and take smaller projects, incremental, multiple smaller projects that feeds into a larger business outcome, right? If you look at a POC or a pilot, you can go to pilot purgatory. People are experimenting, but it's not intentional. If it doesn't align with the business strategy, that is one of the most important way to get value and ROI.
Okay. So look at the business value. So one of the questions that comes up on our podcast a lot is, I'm a, you know, they are Chief AI Officer for a large Fortune 500 company. I have potential of thousands of use cases. How do I figure out which is my the best use case? Because I don't have the resources for thousands of use cases. So how do you figure out which is the best use case for yourself?
So it's a combination of understanding the AI. It's not just the algorithm or the math, sophisticated math, but it's a combination of the ecosystem associated with it. So do you have proprietary data? Do you have the algo or the AI that's needed, as well as the compute? And what is the use cases that has the business value? So think about the prioritization of any business projects or initiatives. There's a priority based on business objective. So are there projects that can directly feed into that? Or do multiple testing of that feeds into that? Because you're learning from each other in a lower risk environment for that high business impact. And the reason I say this is that with OpenAI and some of the use cases we looked at, there's so many places that it can be used. But in the context of business application, what are some of the most insightful way that is also unique to the AI algorithm? So what we found is like a customer 360, really understanding the customer, all aspect of it, regardless of where they are in the system. And then also number two is, as you communicate to the customer, can you personalize it for the different demographic? And so that was some of the CRM opportunities we saw.
Great. So customize it to the, you know, personally to the customer, look at the use cases. So in terms of doing some of these things, Sophia, for chief AI officers, do you think they need different kinds of skills? Because how important is change management within an enterprise? Because we're talking about a transformative technology.
I believe it's almost half for me, maybe, and sometimes more than half.
Wow.
Like the technology portion of it, in most of the digital transformation that we found to be successful, it's like 15-30% of the work. And the rest of it is the change management of the people and the process itself. Because it's doing something fundamentally new, it's a new habit associated with it. But it's also another skill set that's really important, and we talked about this before too, is the fact that being business savvy about what it is that the company is trying to achieve and what it will provide value to the customer. Because there are many labs and research out there around AI. Microsoft, for instance, had 30,000 people, I mean, 10,000 people for about 30 years. But Gen AI did not get produced from Microsoft, right? It was through OpenAI and so forth. So how do we focus that to get value? So being business savvy, understanding the business market, but also change management and understanding that people is key and the culture is key to making it.
So you said change management is more, sometimes more than 50%. Business savvy is very important for this kind of a role. How important is it to get for, you know, for this kind of transformation to have C-level or board-level support for a chief AI officer? Talk to that to our audience a little bit.
As I stated, there's different ways to incorporate AI. There's some companies, I would say most companies out there, really focus on productivity or operation efficiency. But the biggest value is not in operation efficiency, but actually in innovation. And then also align it to the business strategy. So whenever you're talking about business strategy, that is C-suite and board director involvement and engagement, as well as advocacy associated with it. And understanding the importance that with the right recipe, AI can really create exponential growth. Like Uber is a great example. They use the same AI algorithm for matching, for that basically delivering people from one location to another. And they grew a totally different opportunity with Uber Eats. And after the pandemic, their business literally doubled. But if you think about how quickly they were able to pivot, it's using pretty much the same algorithm with some adjustment, they were able to open up a totally different TAM than they had historically. And that's one of the great power of data, proprietary data in the AI solution.
So saying that there is a tremendous opportunity in how you leverage the data and how you leverage the algorithm. Since you brought up data, data privacy is a big issue. For our listeners who are chief AI officers or leaders in AI, talk a little bit about, in terms of data privacy, how important is the quality of data in this whole AI journey?
Yeah. So data quality is very important, especially in traditional AI. It's actually imperative that the quality is met. With Gen AI, it's not as significant, but you would need copious amount of data in order to do that. So basically, ChatGPT was computing for 34 days straight for the training to basically consume the information of the internet with the highest level compute available, which is a GPU. And so, and it's also very expensive. So how do you provide the right balance associated with it, you can achieve that by having data quality so that you can also have, instead of large language model, small language model, and get to one that's very specific scenario.
So data, what you're saying is data quality might not be as important for large language models, but how about data privacy? Because a lot of these our chief AI officers work in health institutions, in financial institutions, where data privacy is a very important aspect. Any thoughts on data privacy, Sophia?
Obviously, you have to be very mindful for data privacy. I'm very proud that Microsoft has always been, that's been top of mind in any of the consideration. So how can you partner with different enterprises to have the data and access to the data in order to do the training? So Microsoft has partnered with a lot of data brokers in order to do the training that's needed and then applying it specifically for the different customer. Secondly, is it was also trained on internal Microsoft data as well, right? So there's different opportunities you can leverage to consider the privacy of the customer as well as the people that's involved.
Wonderful. So moving from privacy to, you know, looking at ethics and responsible AI, some of these companies that I talked to have set up ethics boards, et cetera. Talk about some suggestions, especially from your experience with Microsoft and others, in terms of how important it is to make sure that you look at ethics, you look at, responsible AI. Talk a little bit about that.
So before we started, we understood that the power of AI was pretty significant. And we have an office called Responsible AI, which is a AI council. And it's not just technologists, it's not just business, it's a cross-functional organization to understand the regulatory environment, the ethics, and the framework that's associated with it, but also what is the most impactful. So you talked about prioritization of the different use cases. This was a great group of people that provided the insight of what the technology is capable of, and what will have business impact. And is there value in learning something from one business unit that can be then applied to other business unit? Going back to the Uber environment, by understanding this matching and recommendation, are there other opportunity for matching and recommendation, not people to location, but people, location, and food delivery as example?
Then talking about talent, which is obviously, as you know, is a big, big concern. Now, obviously, Microsoft has the ability to attract some of the best talent. What kind of skills were you looking for when you were at Microsoft to bring onto your team? What should these, because you have listeners who are listening and want to learn from you, what should they be looking for when they bring people in?
Really understanding the data environment, as well as deep machine learning capability and understanding.
Okay.
And then system thinking. The reason I say that is there are researchers or other technologists, but if they're not thinking about the other system of interaction, they may not be thinking about how can we scale this opportunity or technology by leveraging and sharing it through API or other things of that sort. And then having that collaboration with the software engineers, because what happens is they bring the machine learning AI to the user by making it user-friendly with software. So it's that mix of understanding and talent that's very important.
So deep learning, machine learning, those are some of the skills that are very necessary. Sophia, in terms of the chief AI officer role, how important is it to have the ability to work across departments? I mean, do you know, they have to work sometimes with the legal department on governance issues, financial departments on return on investment, et cetera. Talk a little bit about that.
I think it's imperative that you work with all different function, capability, and background within the company, because data is agnostic to your background and your function or business unit. And what you can do to train in one area that's lower risk, like I stated, or where it's not under regulatory jurisdiction, you can leverage that to train to then go to other environments and then learn with higher confidence in your method and approach. And so, for instance, before I did business application, I actually worked with the office of the CFO on many of their AI projects and initiative. And that's where some of the area of, and that was internal to Microsoft, but because of the insight that was provided, this is something now, an opportunity to fuse into the business application in finance and supply chain and forecasting. And so that's another way for innovation to happen, but in a comfortable environment, and then you increase the regulatory as well as other rigor associated with it.
Sophia, in terms of these institutions who are now beginning their journey on AI, you talked a little bit about it. Do you think collaborations with research institutions, academic institutions, or in some cases with incubators, et cetera, to identify, because all innovation doesn't happen internally.
Yes.
What has your experience been, or what suggestion would you have for them?
I think that's actually an amazing opportunity. You talked about what are some of the great talent that's needed.
Mm-hmm.
Academia are known for like brilliant individuals that are passionate about their area, but they may not have some of the resources that are seen in industry, or they may not have the data that's needed to do it at the scale that's desired. And so it's that collaboration that you can see significant growth. I'm on the board of Georgia Tech, and I found that that's been one of the great growth area that they've seen. Mm-hmm. And it also helped that NVIDIA donated a supercomputer so that they can actually do large language model, not only the student, but in these special projects that maybe some of these companies, traditional companies or companies that are in queue, don't have access. So I think that's one of the way to gap the resource that you talked about. And also like getting professors, professors and students are so excited about this area.
Mm-hmm.
Why not lean into it?
That's true. So for our audience, lean into academic institutions with professors, et cetera. As she said, NVIDIA donated Georgia Tech some GPUs, so there could be some significant opportunities. Sophia, we at the end have this lightning round of questions, generally one word answers, just simple ones, give our audience some perspective on this. So you ready?
Sure.
Okay. TensorFlow or PyTorch?
Depends.
Okay. Cloud or on-prem?
Cloud.
Okay. Synthetic data or human-generated data?
Human-generated.
Human-generated. Okay. All right. Now,
on that note, there are areas where synthetic data is important. Like, for instance, if you're training a self-driving car, you don't want to have accident created by humans to be the source of it, right? And the number of accidents not significant enough. So in that case, synthetic data is very key. But one of the reasons why I said human source data is that's how you also keep human in the loop.
But if you listen to some of our folks who spoke there, they're saying that some of the panelists said we have run out of human generated data on the internet. It's all been sucked up by this LLM. So what happens in that case, Sophia?
So it's about being innovative in how to get the data that's interesting and of note, that's pertinent for the context it's trying to be trained on. That's number one. Number two is synthetic data. If you keep on doing synthetic data to the synthetic data to the synthetic data, you basically, it's like the photocopier. The resolution of the photocopy is never as good as the original. And so some of that will get into the data and get, whether it's be polluted or it's not the resolution or the quality is not there. So I just make sure that both are needed, but there are right time to leverage one over another and being mindful of it. And also with the human generated data, it's understanding that maybe we are at the limit as of now, but there are population around the world that are still not, the information has not been gathered, right? Like somebody stated about Africa, some parts of South America, right? Some parts of Asia, like India, has the highest population, like one of the highest number of population, but how many of them are internet, where we're gathering data about their behavior and their concerns into to have that digital representation mm-hmm. in our AI system. So I think there's still opportunities. It's just that, like, thinking a little bit different about it.
Okay. Since you brought up synthetic data, the big buzzword right now everywhere is agentic AI. You know, agents, you see Microsoft's announced them, Salesforce has announced them, et cetera. What are your thoughts? I mean, they're saying we are now getting close to AGI, but it's getting into workflows now. You know, there's kind of agents for almost anything. Your thoughts for our leaders who are scratching at their heads and saying, should I incorporate that?
I think there is great opportunity. Mm-hmm. Like if it's something that's being repeated or high frequency, mm-hmm. agents is a great way to go consider that. But that doesn't mean it'll be able to solve every single scenario. Another thing with that, with AGI, at least the way the technology is right now, mm-hmm. it is not able to achieve AGI, which is free-forming thinking and sentient in some way. So two different questions, but I think there are great opportunities to use like various agents, customer service is one, of common frequency of questions or information requested.
So there's a potential opportunity. Sophia, finally for our audience, chief AI officers, aspiring chief AI officers, one actionable piece of advice that you would like to leave them with?
Stay curious, because AI is changing quickly, and it's your capability to learn and staying curious that'll keep you online with all of the disruptions that's happening out there.
Stay curious. I think that's a great message. Thank you so much, Sophia, for some amazing insights from your background with Microsoft and just across the board in this very fast transforming technology. I hope our listeners got as much value out of it as I did. We bring in these leaders in AI across enterprise. We keep listening, keep subscribing, and we look forward to bringing you other leaders. Thank you, Sophia.